This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors on 104.5 The Zone.
The Zone. It is 7:02. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone. We are powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Trust matters. Count on them. AllFourSeasonsGarages.com/Nashville is their website. With Mark Howard, Jonathan Schaefer, our producer, I'm Kevin Ingram. Blaine is out this morning. That music means the one and only David Beauclair. A string of 1,080 consecutive Thursdays here on the Wake Up Zone. He is brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. Go by any Tennessee Lottery retailer and have a little fun with instant games today. Dave, what's up, man?
You really piqued my interest there. I wonder what the streak is.
What's that?
My streak of Thursdays here.
You don't think it's 1,080?
I don't think it's 1,080. No.
You haven't missed very many.
I haven't missed many, that's for sure.
No, yeah. It's been a whole bunch. It's been
occasional vacation time and whatnot. But
it's been a fantastic run.
Oh, yeah.
Are you wearing red for the New Orleans Pelicans and Zion Williams's
last night? And it's funny because I meant to tune into that game last night and then got distracted doing something or whatever and never got to it. So apparently I missed quite a show.
You did. You know, I almost forgot that it was on, and then I kind of went over there and checked it out and saw all the highlights and everything. But it was fun to watch.
I mean, that guy's just, you know, anyone who questions whether he's going to be able to do what he did, and he's just a different dude. He's absolutely going to be able to do that, and he's going to dominate in a way that that few people have in this league. Going to take a lot of pressure off LeBron James for a while. I think LeBron James will be the happiest guy.
to see him get that kind of attention.
Yeah, that, you know, the national media will be paying attention to somebody else for a change.
All right, so you got Tom Brady coming to Tennessee to play for the Titans.
Coming to live in our neighborhood.
Yeah, he might be living out there in Bellevue with you guys.
Yeah, right.
It's one of those situations where the rational me says no way. It doesn't make sense to his legacy and, you know, the stuff you guys were talking about that Ian Rappaport had mentioned yesterday, I guess. And, you know, there's all that stuff, but then there's this little part of me that's going, you know, it feels like it could happen. And it's got to be, if you're Mike Vrabel and John Robinson, say, for example, that Tom Brady has reached out and said, look, if this thing goes south with New England, I definitely want to talk to you guys. How tormenting must that be to these guys right now? I mean, because you're sitting there going, we've got Ryan Tannehill. We bring him back. We can get 3 or 4 good years probably out of him. But what's 1 year of Tom Brady worth? And then we can find somebody and develop them from there. I would think it is a ridiculously just crazy, sleep depriving sort of scenario in their minds if they're really thinking about it.
Well, but it also would significantly change their draft plan, especially.
Yeah.
Because if they brought Brady in and let Tannehill walk away, they get a nice compensatory pick if Tannehill walks, by the way.
That's right.
That's going to be, you know, next year with all the Titans free agents, Titans are going to have, a few more picks, you know, which is what Robinson loves. But the other part of it is they're going to have to draft a quarterback. You know, they're going to have to draft his successor. You could say, yeah, they'll bring in a veteran, but the smarter play if they signed Brady was they'd probably have to draft a quarterback in the first few rounds and not try to play, you know, lotto and try to grab one late. That would be, to me, a significant difference. You know, this time around, you know, they can look for a veteran, you know, with Tannehill. I get the fact, you know, we've experienced the Titans without a great backup quarterback. The results haven't been exactly great. But still, they've only got 6 picks. And they've got a chance, really, you know, if they have as good a draft in 2020 as they did in 2019, this team could have some interesting possibilities. But, you know, long story short, if Brady comes in, that's going to change the plan a little bit.
I don't think there's any question about that. And you know, I mean, can you, if you're those guys, can you say, boy, it'd be great to have Tom Brady, but Ryan Tannehill did this for us. We just have to go with Ryan. I mean, would you be able to tell Tom Brady no? Like, I guess that's my question.
That's what I'm saying.
If Tom Brady called them up on March 19th and said, you guys are my choice. I like your team. I like you guys. I want to come there. Could you tell him no? That's the question. And I think that's just I just think that's a fascinating thing to think about.
Because there is a downside. You know, if Brady suddenly falls off the cliff.
Yeah. And which he's going to do at some point. He's got to.
If you look at history, and it's funny some of the names people throw up, I can name you maybe one or two quarterbacks that were really effective in their 40s. Then when we get to 43, and now we're talking 43. We're not talking 40.
Right.
We're talking 43.
And I know there's all sorts of rules to protect quarterbacks and all that nowadays, but it's a much more physical game in some ways than it was. The number of times those guys drop back to throw, for example, you know, the punishment. But all I can think of is if Tom Brady were to come here, like all I can envision is Johnny Unitas in San Diego.
Yeah.
You know, like that, you know, like
Joe just, Namath with the Rams.
I think sometimes you take those guys out of that environment that they've known and everything sort of crumbles in their world that way. That to me is the real danger. And I know Brady's a different dude and all that, but it's fun to think about. I do think it's a real possibility, but it doesn't make sense on more levels than it does make sense.
Exactly. And if you think it all the way through from A to Z, in the end, you're going, no, not going to happen.
Yeah. It'd be nice. And if you knew you were getting 2008 Tom Brady, for example, you know, like that'd be one thing, but this whole idea of how much has age caught up with him, when is it really going to get to him?
And if you're Tom Brady, okay, I mean, think
of
this.
If you've got nothing at quarterback, that's one thing.
Yes.
But Titans clearly have an option at quarterback.
But right if you now. Think of Tom Brady, you know, you're thinking, and it's funny now with Tampa Bay, because you keep hearing Phillip Rivers to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has better receivers than the Titans do, a better tight end, and maybe a better defense. You know, that part might be debatable, but you know, you look at Tom Brady, you probably look at Tampa Bay. And what about the Colts? You plug a good quarterback into the Colts.
Yeah.
They've got a terrific offensive line, maybe the best in the league. They're going to upgrade at receiver anyway. You know, and they have a really good tight end.
They've got a really good slot receiver, T.Y. Hilton, they've got Jack Doyle, and they've got
you had Jerry Jeudy or somebody like that, one of the Alabama receivers. And this is a great class for wide receivers. Then maybe Indianapolis is more appealing than the Titans.
But you talk about culturally unappealing to Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen. Like this idea that, oh, they wouldn't be happy here. Like, they could hang out with Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban. They could hang out with, you know, the Paisleys. I mean, there's like this idea that there would be nothing for the Bradys here is just absurd. You know, I mean, that they would do just fine.
They could
fine
hang out
here.
With the Ingrams. Yeah. They could hang out with Tammy and David Beauclair.
Not these Ingrams.
Your Uncle John. Yeah.
They'll be over at John and Martha's house, you know, comparing stacks of money.
Yeah, they'd be just fine in terms of that, and in terms of a peer group. You know, hell, Rex Ryan's in town, right? He could go swap football stories with Rex Ryan.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a guy he'd want to have a beer with.
I'll bet he would. I bet that'd be a conversation worth listening to.
I think it probably would be too.
Yeah,
we'd go to a hockey game together.
That's right.
Peyton could come in and visit.
Hey, Tom. 7-11.
Well, he's buying the team, right? That I mean, when
he is, yeah, he's buying the team, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, all right.
The team looks like it's on one thing you can say, it looks like it's on very stable ground as far as ownership goes.
Absolutely, yes. And all you have to do is look at the construction going on out there now.
712 on 104.5 The Zone, the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. We got David Boeckler in the house. He's brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. They're proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education. Mark's going to tell us about USS, if you don't mind.
That's right, and all you need to know about United Structural Systems, it's a foundation repair and waterproofing company that's served Middle Tennessee since 1994. They have more than 18,000 satisfied residential customers, and they specialize in foundation repair, waterproofing, you know, all sorts of things, concrete leveling, waterproofing services. But when it comes to foundation repair, are your bricks cracking, your walls bowing, your doors and windows sticking, drywall separating? That might come from extreme moisture and drought conditions that are the main causes of foundation failure. Also might be poor drainage or plumbing leaks. Well, USS will come in with sinkhole remediation, foundation repair, and steel underpinning systems, crawl space floor supports. And the great thing about United Structural Systems, free estimates. They're locally owned. Served Middle Tennessee, as I mentioned, since 1994. They're community-oriented. Kids and families are raised in local communities, not a franchise, and they will custom solution to meet homeowner needs. They guarantee their best. Call USS 615-227-2275 or online at usstn.com. United Structural Systems.
Zone.
.1045 The Zone at 717. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Got David Boeckler here, and he is sponsored by the Tennessee Lottery. Go by the Tennessee Lottery. Have a little fun with instant games today. Looking at the TV right now, ESPN has a headline. Robert Kraft says Patriots plan to bring back Tom Brady. He told TMZ Sports.
Quote, plan to, unquote. Mm-hmm. That is a...
TMZ is like, this is... like turned into a mission for them was to find Kraft and to get a react from him. And
not that hard to find.
No, I know, but they wanted to be first. Boeckie, as far as, and you know, we've broken it down as much as we can break it down before it starts happening. But what do you think, in my opinion, the Ryan Tannehill signed to a long-term contract, at least in my opinion, is almost a must. For the Titans, if they want to keep, you know, Derrick Henry, who I think, you know, might be a given, but anybody else beyond Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I did a piece yesterday where I ranked the guys who are supposed, you know, heading towards free agency in terms of how I think the Titans should prioritize them. And I actually have Logan Ryan ahead of Ryan Tannehill just because, and you know, the top four are all guys you say you'd love to have back. Yeah, I think you figured number four, Jack Conklin, you could live without. And Tannehill, just because if for some reason it doesn't work out with Tannehill, there are going to be other quarterback options out there. You can,
how won't it work out with Tannehill? Because you can ultimately franchise him.
Well, okay. But what if Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill both say, I want to go to free agency. Then who are you going to franchise? I mean,
you can transition one.
But for whatever reason, there are other options there. Logan Ryan had the kind of year this year that you don't like. He tackled well. He defended the pass well. He blitzed well. I mean, you don't see cornerbacks play that way very often. And you know, yes, he's a little bit older, but I think he's the kind of guy who has one more good contract in him, and Logan Ryan is really important to that team from a leadership standpoint.
All right,
you know, he was not a captain, but he was like, I go back to, you know, DeMarco Murray a few years ago, who wasn't a captain, but from what I saw was the most important guy in that locker room in terms of setting the tone and making sure everybody had sort of the right attitude about whatever the situation was week in and week out. And Logan Ryan is that guy now to me. I think you're giving up an awful lot both on the field and off the field if you lose him.
All right, a couple of things there. Is it fair to say he might be more valuable to the Titans than he might be another team?
Yes.
But the other thing, too, is you know, if we're doing like an actuarial table football-wise, in other words, you know, sort of ranking how risky, you know, some of these hires or these contracts might be, giving a corner a contract, a long-term deal at 29 is pretty dicey.
Yeah.
Another three-year deal, I'd say, okay, anything beyond that, you know, love you, but we're not going to do it.
Yeah, I agree. But you know, if we're talking actuarial tables or whatever, you know, same thing with Ryan Tannehill in that, you know, statistics suggest he's not going to have another season like he had this year. You know, that this is going to be an outlier. So what is the regression going to be? And we saw it a little bit during the playoffs, actually. You know, it wasn't as big a deal because he wasn't throwing 30 passes a game, but his completion percentage was way down in the postseason. And we saw him missing some throws that we didn't during the regular season. So I think, you know, that's when you're having these conversations with Ryan Tannehill, are you negotiating based on 10 games of this regular season, or are you negotiating based on 8 years in Miami? You know,
I mean, there's any question.
You know, that's because those are two completely different things.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how I sort of, you know, fit what he did in the playoffs into the whole equation of the season. I mean, he was awesome in the regular season, yeah. But you know, the playoffs, those first two games, he kind of did what they needed him to do, though, at times, too, because right. I mean, they were busting it with Derrick Henry.
Absolutely.
And he made some big throws. He made some important throws.
And the other thing,
you know, but he wasn't but
he also,
nearly.
But he also missed some. Right, like, and he did. There was a time in the regular season where when he dropped back, you're like, well, this is a complete, like, I mean, it was a surprise when he missed. And there was a few throws that he missed during the playoffs that I don't recall him really missing those throws at all during the regular season. And, you know, statistics, you know, these analytics that I've said this before, the one term they have introduced into our sports lexicon is regression to the mean, you know, and if he hasn't started already, he will regress to the mean at some point.
Well, the other part of it, too, is, you know, debating on what he was with the Dolphins. I mean, he wasn't complete garbage.
No.
You know, his stats were decent. He played on some bad teams. So I'm not sure who he is. I think it's probably a little bit in between. I think he's finally found a team that has a great running game and that has a pretty good offensive line.
And a great running game makes every quarterback look better.
And that's why in this situation, it's set up for Tannehill to succeed. He's got an offensive coordinator who seems to get him. He seems to be in sync with Arthur Smith. And
he talked about that following the game Sunday.
But, you know, then again, if Arthur Smith has another year like he did, you know, in 2019 and 2020, he's probably going to be a head coach before you know it. So, you know, that's the other part. But with all that being said, I don't think he's going to get elite quarterback money, but I think that
the latest estimates I've seen are $25 to $30 million dollars.
Four years, $100 million, $50 million guaranteed would probably be fair.
To me, the question about him is, you know, can he get even better? Because he's going to have to be even better if they're going to make that next step and get to the Super Bowl and beat the Chiefs, which the Chiefs are going to be the obstacle, it looks like, for everybody in the AFC over the next few years.
And
the Ravens, right. I mean, but can he be – he's going to have to deliver in the playoffs. Do you think he can if you're going to give him that kind of money?
I think the counter-argument is not so much can he get better, but can the Titans get a little bit better on defense? If the Titans have one more pass rusher, scoring 24 against the Chiefs, might not be a losing proposition. You know, it's not like he was terrible in the postseason. He just wasn't, you know, as prolific as he was during the regular season. But then again, he also had the hottest running back in the league in his backfield.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at. You're not always going to be able to beat everybody with your run game in the playoffs. I mean, your quarterback's going to have to deliver at some point.
Yeah, it's I mean, ultimately, I think you have to say this is our guy. I think all this, all the stats and all that aside, I think you have to say we built too much momentum with this guy, and this guy did too much for AJ Brown, and you know, even a guy like Khalif Raymond, he had a good relationship and a good rapport with, and it fit together with what he did and with what Derrick Henry did, and ultimately you just have to say, you know, to your point, Kevin, yes, we have to bring him back and we have to find ways to be better than we were. And some of that is getting better on defense, getting a pass rusher. Some of that is, you know, giving him a full training camp to work with the starters and all of that.
Well, yeah. and my counter to what everybody said about him in the playoffs, he faced three really good defenses. And in the Kansas City game, he just, you know, for the most part, just didn't get a lot of snaps in the second half. You know, that was, you know, one of the big problems. And yeah, you know, that they still put up 24, a legitimate 24. So, you know, it wasn't like he was terrible. And yeah, you put him next to Patrick Mahomes and anybody would look bad.
Exactly.
Let's get to caller two. Mike, over in South Carolina. Hey, good morning. You're on the zone. What's up?
Well, good morning, guys. I'm enjoying your conversation and a lot of good points there. The two things for me that when I look at Tannehill and then the overall performance of the team, I think that the conditions in Kansas City were different than throughout the regular season. So if we're looking at why he might not have been as on, I think the gauntlet that they just run going to Houston, going to New England, going to Baltimore and then Kansas City is part of it. And I think that's for the whole team and especially the defense. I think their legs were just rubber after chasing Jackson 1 week and then Mahomes the next. And then I think that's a factor. But then the other thing that I would like to see be part of this thing is that I think the line was performing at a super top level. And I think Conklin and Derrick Henry and Tannehill all make each other better in the sense that without that running game, Tannehill's performance is not going to be what we saw this year. And so it's crucial that we keep that together. And conversely, you know, Jack Conklin's a big part of Derrick Henry's success. And they talked about how they all know what each other's going to do in a way they didn't the year before now.
I know we're running into a break.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
Titans ran off of Conklin's side very successfully in the playoffs. But, Boakye, it's my opinion, and I feel pretty strongly about this, Jack Conklin is going to be harder to hold on to than maybe all of these free agents, way more than Logan Ryan. He's 25 years old, has yet to hit his peak, can play left side, right side. He's going to be really attractive to a lot of teams out there. And in my opinion, I feel like he's going to be the toughest prospective free agent to keep.
I think you're exactly right. We'll talk about that more, I guess, on the other side.
We will. David Beauclair is our guest. He's brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery every Thursday morning right here on the Wake Up Zone. Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Coming right back.
Yes, no one wants to go to the vehicle repair shop, right? It's like going to the doctor for an operation. The typical first reaction is, how do I know what I really need or even what they say I need? Sometimes you really wonder if repair recommendations are true or are they just like, your mortgage payment. Yes, they are true. Blaine Bishop here to tell you about Eurofix and the people that are tired of getting bamboozled. If you're sick and tired of getting, at auto repair shops that are not legit, then you need to go over to Eurofix. Yes, Eurofix repairs everything European. So if you feel like you've been lied to or taken advantage of when it comes to auto repair, come on over to Eurofix. Eurofix will always tell you the difference between recommendation and a must do. So get a free 15-minute no-wrench inspection at every visit and naturally no appointment necessary. And come when you want to come, and that means no appointment needed. Eurofix offers a free nationwide 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty on all works, plus a free rental car with reservations on every repair. So you are not stranded sitting around all day. So all you have to do is just give them a call at 844-EUROFIX. That's right. 844-EUROFIX, open Monday through Friday, or you can check them out online at myeurofix.com.
.45 The Zone, 735. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone as we do it again with David Beauclair, sponsored by the Tennessee Lottery, proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education. Want to join us here at 615-737-1045, or you can check in on Twitter at WUZ1045. A couple of tweets, comments about, we had a conversation about Ryan Tannehill, what the Titans have ahead at quarterback.
Tundra Man says Tannehill was scared in the playoffs. Signing him to a long-term deal makes me nervous. I'm afraid he'll revert back to how he played in Miami. Then we're stuck with him because of the money.
Yeah, again, I think that's overstated. I don't think he was necessarily scared. Yeah, some people thought that, but I didn't necessarily agree. And, you know, again, he wasn't like total garbage in Miami. He didn't exactly have a great supporting cast. He had, you know, just almost a different coach and coordinator every year. It was kind of crazy.
Juan took off the Mandalorian helmet and tweeted, "Are we stronger repeat AFC championship contenders with Brady instead of Tannehill?"
Debatable.
It is. You think you'd be able to say absolutely you'd be more, you'd be better off with Brady, but I don't know that you can say that.
Boy, Charles Davis was on Clay Travis's show, and Schaaf always, you know, gets the audio, and Charles was pretty authoritative on the fact that that you go for Brady, that. And I don't want to mischaracterize what he said, but he basically said you go for Brady, it's not really even close. And I don't know if I totally agree with that. Yeah, if we're looking at the back of their football cards, absolutely. But remember last year when Brady had offensive, we got the audio. Here's Charles Davis.
Tom Brady brings you a lot more than just, you know, and I'm not even talking about the selling tickets part. It brings you a legitimate feel that your organization is making that move and your team feels it. I'm not saying Ryan Tannehill didn't do a great job this year. He did. But are you banking that Ryan Tannehill continues to ascend and you carry and he carries you along versus do you take the roll the dice and take a shot with a Tom Brady? I'd be surprised if they didn't take the shot if Tom Brady were indeed interested.
Hey, Charles Davis on Fox Sports Radio.
And I mean, he's right. The message that it sends if you sign a Tom Brady is completely different than if you re-sign Ryan Tannehill. But 42, 43 years old just would scare the bejesus out of me personally.
Too. Me too.
If you're talking about paying him what 35, 36, or whatever it's going to take for him to be here,
we don't know what his price is, and it might be different, you know, with different teams. But the other thing is, when he struggled this year, it was because the Patriots had offensive line issues. They had them here. You know, there's no guarantee that Conklin's coming back and the offensive line will be as good as it was last year. You know, that's another thing you got to worry about. But, you know, Brady is like most other quarterbacks, and especially most other 43-year-old quarterbacks, and that is you better protect him. And I don't know if you'd say right now that his offensive line is better than it is in New England. It got better when everybody was healthy, but I wonder how he looks at that. The Colts, on the other hand, you know, have one of the top two lines, I think, in the league. So I guess it depends on how you look at it.
The other thing with Brady, I think if you leave New England, you do it because you feel like you have something to prove. And what does he have to prove unless he wants to prove it to the world that he can win without Bill Belichick? Like, that would be the only possible thing he has to prove. And is that something that you want to go out of your way to do? I don't know.
I think his motivation, at least it seems like, you know, you read a lot of the coverage in Boston, is salary. I don't think he has as big a beef with Belichick as everybody thinks. Yeah, a coach-player relationship like that is always going to ebb and flow. There are going to be times where they're really close, and there are going to be times where they're probably irritated with each other, and sometimes familiarity breeds contempt. But, I mean, it's never always, you know, a smoochy love affair most of the time. So, you know, and you know, Belichick is very demanding. He puts a lot on Brady, and you saw the way Brady practiced, you know, when he came here this past summer. I mean, he is he is literally like a coach out there, and he's demanding of his receivers. He expects everybody, you know, to be in the right place. And during the season, he, you know, what it doesn't always come out, I guess, in reps and throws because they limited him because of his elbow. And that's the other part of Brady. Can he throw long anymore? He was definitely limited late in the season. So are you getting a diminished product in that regard? So to me, there are so many unknowns about Brady. We all love the football card. We do. We love the legend and the football card and all that. But in the end, what would the Titans really be getting?
That's what Donald and Brentwood asked for us. Donald, good morning. You're on the Zone.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Hey, just want to ask a question about this deal with Antonio Brown. It seems like this guy getting worse and worse each and every week. Do you think that hit that Roberto hit him, it seemed like since he had that injury, it seems like he hasn't been the same ever since. I mean, as far as the attitude and the way he go about doing things, it seems like he just took a 180 after that hit from Roberto. You think that has something a bit to do with it?
No, because he's always been that way. And you talk to people. There was a good story on ESPN.com that really delved into who AB really is. And the fact is that Mike Tomlin let him miss meetings, let him miss practices, let him come late because he said, look at his output, look at who he is. And once they started cracking down on him, once you let that horse out of the barn, it's hard to get it back in. And once AB had to adhere like a regular player to times and meetings and everything else, he didn't do very well. He didn't do very well in Oakland. I don't think he was in New England long enough, but that was part of his problem. And then there was also the problem of the good AB and the bad AB. And maybe, some of this, is really manifesting itself, into something worse. But, the erratic behavior has existed for a while. Now you're seeing it play out when he's in sort of a desperate situation.
7:43, the time, the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. We'll wrap up our hour with David Beauclair. He's sponsored by the Tennessee Lottery. David, of course, with Sports Illustrated. SI.com is where you can find his excellent work. All right, Mark, tell us about Wilson County Hyundai as we take a little trip out I-40 here.
Exactly. Wilson County Hyundai, Pain Bone, very excited about their inventory. The 2020s are in. They're getting great play in the trades, and you see them on the commercials and all that. And Wilson County Hyundai has fantastic savings on all remaining 2020 models in stock. They will not be beat on price. And Wilson County Hyundai also has an award-winning service department that's open on Saturdays. And Payne, like his brother Mitchell, takes great pride in the fact that they have cutting-edge technology and they want to give you back a car that's in the shape it was in the day you drove it off the lot. And you'll like buying a car from Wilson County Hyundai. Why? Because they treat customers like family. And I sent family over there to Payne, and she walked away with a new car and very happy in the way she was treated. They also have a huge selection of all 2020 Hyundais, whether it's an SUV or a regular. And as soon as you walk on the premises, be sure to ask for your Payne discount. Wilson County Hyundai, a Bone family tradition since 1927. Great people, great deals, fantastic service in nearby Lebanon.
.45 The Zone, 7:49 The Wake Up Zone. We're powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. You win some money with the Tennessee Lottery, you'll be doing it all for your baby. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education. How's that for a segue?
How about it?
Isn't Huey Lewis supposed to be coming back?
I think he does have a new record out or coming out or something, yeah.
He's had big issues with his hearing. And
wow. I've met Huey Lewis.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, nice guy. Met him at the National Symphony.
I bumped into him at the in the rough on the 11th. I'm serious. On the 11th hole at Nashboro Village one year.
Yeah, I got a chance to get backstage access when they performed at the National
Symphony. Oh, really?
At the cool. Skirmerhorn. It was really nice guy.
Yeah.
Exactly what you thought he would be.
And now he just smokes dope with Jimmy Kimmel all the time.
Well, who wouldn't, though?
I mean, know. I'm just saying.
Better not be judging anybody.
No, not judging him at all. That's just what he likes.
Did you ask Huey Lewis if he wanted to be your personal ATM on the golf course?
No, I didn't. It was just so weird. I'm looking for my golf ball, and I look up, And I see a guy go, hey, how's it going? And it's, I go, God, that looks a lot like Huey Lewis. And then I got back to the clubhouse. And it was Huey Lewis.
That's basically like everyone in town having a Vince Gill story. It's like, oh, hey, there's Vince.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a thing on Twitter the other day. Somebody was asking, what was your strangest celebrity encounter? Or just something odd where you bumped into somebody. For me, it was Chris Webber. I was walking along at the Baltimore.
Chris Webber.
I was walking along at the Baltimore airport, and I accidentally bumped into this guy. And I said, oh, hey, excuse me. Sorry about that. He kind of said the same. And I looked up. I was like, oh, that dude looked like Chris Webber. It's like, that was Chris Webber.
Jack White in an antique store.
Oh, really?
Little Richard on a flight back from Austin with the Nashville Cats.
Wow. I know that's a historic story.
He lives around here.
Yeah.
It was downtown.
Bokey, what's yours?
Can I weigh in on this Eli Manning thing?
Sure, go ahead. Yep.
It's not a slam dunk that he's a Hall of Famer.
Thank you!
He's certainly a guy you need to talk about, and the Super Bowls and the way he played in the Super Bowls can't be ignored. But this guy never led the league in anything, hardly. Never finished in the top three in completion percentage, attempts, completions, top three once in touchdown passes. He did lead the league in interceptions three times. You start thinking about the quarterbacks of his generation. He wasn't as good as Peyton. He wasn't as good as Tom Brady. He wasn't as good as Drew Brees. He wasn't as good as Ben Roethlisberger. He's probably not as good as Philip Rivers, although close there. Oh,
statistically, they're pretty close.
But we'll say this. Eli Manning's made four Pro Bowls in, 18 years? 16 years. Mm-hmm. And it's not like he was in the playoffs all the time and couldn't go to the Pro Bowl.
But had a pretty prolific playoff record.
But Philip Rivers had twice as many Pro Bowl appearances. I mean, my point being that Eli didn't move the needle for the quarterback position in any way, shape, or form. He played great in a couple Super Bowls. He had 1 year where and it was 2011 where he won the Super Bowl, a bunch of game winning drives, fourth quarter comebacks, that sort of thing. But you know, when you're talking about the guys who defined the position, Eli's not one of them. Eli played the position, played it for a long time, played it well. I don't know that it's a slam dunk that he's a Hall of Famer.
I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I think he's eventually getting in.
To me, he's a version of Lynn Swann. Like, Lynn Swann's in because of what, like Lynn Swann doesn't even have the career numbers.
No,
like,
not even close.
But what he did in the postseason carried him in, and that's kind of the thinking you're going to have to take to get Eli in, I think, because his regular season, other than the fact that he did it for a long time, they don't add up.
In terms of playing, he's Curt Schilling. You know, Curt Schilling doesn't have great lifetime numbers, but if you put him into context, then you remember Curt Schilling winning two World Series and being sort of the ultimate clutch guy.
But Curt Schilling, there was a period of time where he was one of the best pitchers in the game.
So same with Eli.
I don't think so. I don't if he's only the fifth or sixth best. I mean, you're talking about a guy,
four other Hall of Famers.
But you're talking about a guy. Yeah, but if you're not in the top, there's 32 starting quarterbacks in the league. If you're barely in the top 20% of your position, does that make you a Hall of Famer? Again, it'd be one thing if you say, yeah, he wasn't as good as those guys, but, you know, he had three times where he led the league in completion percentage, and you know there was the two times he threw 50 some touchdown passes. He never did any of that. He just always had good numbers. And you made the comment last hour, Mark, about you can't hold his win-loss record against him because that's not all in the quarterback. I would argue the quarterback is the one position in the NFL that you can hold, you can attribute a good percentage of a win-loss record to.
You look at
a guy like Peyton Manning and how the Colts, they weren't a Super Bowl team every year, obviously, but they were always good. And I think even Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, you know, they're never ever terrible when he's their quarterback. And the Giants have had some years where they were terrible, even with Eli starting 16 games. And I think to me it's not an easy decision to say, yeah, absolutely. You look at his numbers. I think
once it gets into the room, I wonder what kind of decision it will be. Like how much
back and forth will there be on him as a Hall of Famer? I think he'll get in. Maybe, as Mark said, maybe not the first time around, but hey, I wonder what that conversation will be like, you know, when his name comes up in a few years.
Yeah, I mean, to me, if I was debating those sorts of things, that you have to be the best at some point in your career, and Eli was never the best, never really close to the best.
But he was best for two Sundays.
Yeah, exactly.
In February.
Yeah.
David, you're the best. Thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure. Everybody have a great weekend.
You do the same. David Beauclair from Sports Illustrated, brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. Go by any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Have some fun with instant games today. We'll get back to the phones when we come back. Also, a little bit later in the 8 o'clock hour, rivalry game for Belmont tonight. Casey Alexander will join us and take three, less than an hour away. More of the show coming up next on The Zone.